Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we want things to be better in this land of America. It would be great to have revival in our land. Lord, help revival to start in our heart and then to grow and spread throughout every land. Lord, let there be missionaries ready to your calling, and let us speak to this nation and the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I have been thinking about two subjects. The first is Jesus, and the other is our monetary system, and some of the present problems with our monetary system. Now, in the Bible, Jesus spoke about money over and over, and it reminds me that every area of life can be looked into through a biblical and godly perspective, which brings to mind Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I like this Matthew 22:37 passage. The more we know God Jesus, the more we know the wisdom of his laws and the wisdom of his love. His love for us is so very great. We see his plan of the salvation, which he had from the beginning, that Jesus would be the blood sacrifice, which God requires as a payment for sin. And then we realize the penalty for sin is hell. And yes, we can have our sins forgiven through Jesus when we ask Jesus for forgiveness and turn from our sin. Yep, this is the part of the born-again experience, and we thank Jesus for it. And yes, our pastor can tell us about this, or you can learn about it by reading and studying God's Word, the Bible. Reading the Word is like spending time with Jesus, and it is good to know Jesus, who you desire to spend eternity with in that heavenly place. And we already know that there are troubles in this world, and there are troubles lots of places, and so we seek a time of heavenly peace with Jesus. So let us choose to follow the holiness of God with the goodness and the holiness of God Jesus. Maybe it's just me, and I think the way we deal with people reflects our closeness with God. For instance, do we forgive others? I think of Matthew 6:15, where it says, "If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." And the word here is trespasses. And the idea is forgiveness. Now, I have heard people say, that we need to forgive sins. And they don't say trespasses. But let me go to Mark 2, 7, where it says, who can forgive sins but God alone? Example of why I like the Old King James Version, which says trespasses and not sin. We are to love our neighbor and love God. And love is the key word here. And when we are to love Jesus, how? By keeping his commandments. That's in John 14, 15. His commandments are, well, they're really pretty simple. And if we can grasp more and more ways to apply our love, yes, to God, and yes, to our neighbor, I think that's a really good idea for us. Practice. And let's see, now what about money? And what about our national debt? First, there is Exodus 22:14, and there's Psalm 37:21 that says, the borrowed money must be paid back. And then I have to ask, has our nation borrowed beyond our ability to repay? And what would be wrong with that, do you think? Well, I think it would be wrong. We have done it because we are borrowing more than this generation can repay. And so, the other generations of children and grandchildren will have to repay our debt. And I think that's unbiblical. Yet, that is what is going on. It's so that people are never paid back, but God's, the principles in God's Bible say that we have to pay back our debts. How will we do it? It's a good question. I'm afraid that it's going to cost Americans dearly to pay it back. And as I said, perhaps our children and grandchildren will lose the land of America and become servants to the debtors that we are creating by our borrowing. And after all, history has a way of saying that the people who are taken over do become slaves of another nation. And is that slavery due to a military event, or is it due to debt, like the national debt? Well, I think there's different ways of looking at it, and it's not the answer. All I do is I see that there is a problem, and we have to look at things so that we stay out of trouble with the laws of God. There have been a number in the last year, 10, 25 years, who have predicted one of the problems will be the excessive printing of U.S. dollars. And another thing that's going on right now, and that is the loss of the petrodollar. Now, the petrodollar means that there has been an agreement with various countries, especially Saudi Arabia, that the purchases of oil must be done in U.S. dollars. The central banks of the world have kept stacks and stacks of $100 United States Federal Reserve notes in their vault so that they could guarantee by various countries. So now, with countries being allowed to purchase oil in other currencies, it means those stacks of $100 bills that the central banks around the world have had to have in reserve are no longer. Well, they will be returned to the United States of America. And here is the rule that is so clear to me, that the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And that will be another great inflation when the millions and millions of dollars in U.S. currency is no longer needed, and so it will be returned to the United States of America. Now, at the very same time that Russia and China are selling off their reserves of United States dollars that they hold in the form of treasury bills, what's going on? And if you listen to the commentators, you'll hear that a crash of great proportions, a crash because they are aware of these things. They know what the principles are, and so do I. I have, well, a couple of years ago, I thought about this and said the same kind of a thing. Just because I can analyze the situation, I know what's likely to go on because these are economic rules. And those commentators, economic rules also. So they see this is an event that has to happen. You can call it a collapse if you want. It happens when the U.S. Treasury prints so much money, and then the money is returned, and, well, no, I just described that. But there is events going on, and I don't know that we really have to worry about them. It just shows that inflation is going to be greater, much greater, because the Treasury sells its bonds to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve prints money to buy those bonds. And that process has been going on for whenever we needed money, whether it was with a war or whether it was with COVID or whether it was to pay for some kind of benefits or problems that the United States was having. So there were bonds that were sold, and many of them lately have been bought by the Federal Reserve. This is a problem. And it shows the weakness of things happening. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a problem right away, but the principle is showing that things have to make trouble in different ways, and that trouble is going to cause a collapse. We know that. We just don't know when it's going to happen. It will be too late when we finally do understand that this is what is going on. It'll be too late when we recognize it. There will be no availability to have a preventative measures. And that includes for your preparedness. For every one of us, we want to prepare for this and for that. But by the time we see that this is actually happening, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. So think about what you can do now for that just in case the economy really does collapse. Now, it's not going to be easy for our children and grandchildren to be carrying this debt that we have created, we and our parents have created. And I do think of the Bible saying that debtor, if you borrow money, you become a servant to the debtors. That's history. Besides, it's not only Bible, it's clear in history. And slavery is the result. Slavery has often gone on in history, and don't think it cannot happen to us, because God has a way of having his laws be true. And that's something we just have to be aware of and say, look out. If it's history or if it's biblical history, you can be sure that it can happen again. And the Bible is full of history. I know one of the things I look at is Babylon. And Babylon in Revelation chapter 18, it talks about judgment coming in 1 hour. Now, there's so many people who have a question of, who's Babylon? Is it ancient Babylon? Is it a physical Babylon? Is it mystery Babylon? Or is it something we just cannot understand? Well, we can ask these questions because they are real questions. Speaking of the physical Babylon, yeah, it could be the Babylon in the Middle East. And it could be, could it be that Babylon that is across from New York City? The Babylon world that I know of. Well, we have indicators. Do we know the full truth? I don't mean that I know the full truth, that's for sure. All I see is indicators, and we can use those indicators to look at what just might be happening in our world. And one of the things about the Babylon in Revelation chapter 18 is that rapidly, and when you look at the characteristics of Babylon in Revelation, you know that it can be the United States. You know it. But that's something we all get to look into and try to understand it. I just know there's plenty of indicators to say that there are things going on. One of the things going on, let's see, I talked about this last week, how the world is preparing for a nuclear war, and that would fall into line with judgment coming in 1 hour. A crisis that is in Revelation 18, in 1 hour. And you know, the city of New York in the last weeks has been telling its residents to prepare for a nuclear event. Well, they're just questions. Certainly, I don't know the answers. I just know what could be. Another thing about last week's broadcast was I talked about my father-in-law, who was in very close proximity to the bomb test. He lived a healthy life, and he lived until he was nearly 80 years old. Well, why? We have to wonder that. He was a godly man, for sure, and perhaps God kept him alive because of that. Well, questions. Do we know the true answers? No, but we search for understanding. And the days that we are living in a way, they're not different from the days in history, and in a way, they are. So we get to just try to understand what is going on and what could be in our very near future. Thinking about that economics of the Federal Reserve people, I have heard them say in the last years, a couple of those Federal Reserve chairmen say, we are in uncharted waters. We are in uncharted times of what they're doing with the Federal Reserve debt and moving monies from here to there and creating monies on a computer screen. A lot of unknowns. So uncharted waters, certainly. Unknown is going on right now. And it's going to work out. And certainly I reflect back to that Revelation chapter 18. And I think there's many things to ponder about, yes, the financial system, And yes, the collapse or the crises is in our country. What do we do about it? It's not that I have the whole answer. I don't. But I can see that there is a good reason to be prepared as to how we are going to live in the future. That preparation to have that relation with God, Jesus, and to reflect on His holiness and see what our position is as we go through life. What are we going to do, and how do we do it? I think of America, and I just mentioned the trouble that just might be coming, including regarding chapter 18 of Revelation. And I just have to say, there is a possibility that our civilization will not survive whatever's coming. And if that is the case, I hope we do survive and we try to reestablish America on its godly principles. And that includes ones that our founding fathers had. We can be destroyed and we can reestablish whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is. I just know that we are going to try to love God and love our neighbor, and we will keep understanding more and more ways to do that. In history, you know, there's always been surprises. Even today, in a short time frame, we have surprises. Full of surprises. And often enough, you go back in time, and the historians, or even the archaeologists, are just asking to understand how come we can have, oh, like what? Like Roman coins dating from the time of Christ in America. They don't understand how come America can have some ancient Egyptian items that seem to come to America, again, about the time of Jesus was here on earth. So we have questions. And another one I look at is the bones that are here and there. How can there be these giant bones and skeletons from, I don't know, creatures? Many of them are 8 feet, some of them are 10 feet, some of them are 16 feet tall. And there's even been some that were unearthed for one circumstance or another. One in Switzerland, two in North Africa, of 30-foot skeletons. Now, of course, there were so, how do you prove it? I'm not sure how to prove it. All I know is that there is a bit of history that explains it. And do we know for sure? Where's the proof? Well, we do have proof, but it might not be adequate for you. History is full of examples of this, and we just have to seek how believe or not believe. Do we know it? No, we don't exactly know it, but we do seek understanding. And we do try to understand and put into effect what we understand. And we get bombarded with well, we think it's just too much. How can one side say this and be so certain? And how can the other side say, oh, it can't be, and they are so certain? You know, a part of that is going on with our vaccines today. And are vaccines good, or are they going to kill us? Especially that COVID-19 vaccine. So much controversy about it. There are still governments who say we have to get our vaccines, but there are that graphene oxide is in the vaccine. And now, I don't know. I haven't done any testing, but I listen to people who say they have tested. Oxide in it in a large amount. Look, I don't know. The only thing I know is that there is controversy. There is people, one who believe one thing and people who believe another. I am puzzled. And I am cautious also. I really don't like the idea of an experimental soldiers when hospital workers and soldiers and we are giving them an experimental vaccine. Well, I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about a lot of things. That's one of them. Another thing I'm concerned about is the people in the United States who do not have a job. 100,000 of them. I mean, 100 million people do not have a job in the United States. Part of it is for they're getting money out of it. We are trying to figure out this, and we hope we can survive it. So, no, we don't know. But we know that if things go wrong, things could really go wrong. Yes, in the United States, but we're not alone here. The European... ...in a great deal of trouble. Why, there could be crashes happening all over. I guess somebody would like to reestablish the whole world in their own economy. It makes me think of an antichrist system, the system of the beast. Could that come about in short order, in just a few years? Well, yes, it could. And there are people who want that to happen, and they say, if it happens, we will be able to form the world into the world that we want. Those are the elite people of the world. And you know, I talked about the systems crashing, the managers who believe it will crash. That was about 2 years ago I said that, two and a half years ago. And I used the names of people. I think there were 15 people I cited saying that it just can't go on for another year. But of course it did. One of those people was from Australia. And, well, they've been wrong so far, but we still could have the greatest crash in history. A lot of people see it that way. And that just makes me think, well, let's because if it does happen, well, a little preparedness will be a really good thing to have. I know there's lots of people who are well known who are saying about that. Robert Kiyosaki, James Rickards, Ray Dalio, the gold people. I mean, the people who advocate owning gold. They all say that a crisis could be happening pretty much any time. And so get a little prepared. If it does crash, what do we do? Well, preparedness. And we all have a different idea what that means. And I think that's good that we all have our own idea, because that way we can help each other in different ways. If we all... we wouldn't be able to help one another. But if somebody holds has tools and gasoline, you know, that means that we will be able to help each other to survive through a collapse, assuming there is one. If there is, I mean, I say if there is, but it seems so inevitable to so many people. It's just a question of when. And that, I don't know. I've puzzled over that for a few years now. But prepared. Well, there are authorities who want to be prepared for an emergency for their own self, but they don't tell you to get prepared. All they do is say, hey, we're going to have a COVID crisis, so get your vaccine. That's going on. In China, they're locking down, I just thought, 230 million down. Because, is Dr. John Campbell, and he has some really interesting ideas. He talked about having the Senate say that the COVID-19 is very likely created in a laboratory. So we can look at many sources and try to figure out what happened with COVID. I don't know, but again, there is another area that I would say let's be cautious about. There's people who continue to look for answers about the vaccines. One of the things that has just gone on, just, what is it, a week, 10 days, 2 days, two weeks ago, there was a ruling by a judge that said that Pfizer has to release the vaccine data that they have. So they're releasing 100,000 pages of information. Well, that'll be interesting. They're doing it like so many thousand pages a month for several months. But I think it's going to be interesting because everyone has their own ideas that they're going to propose. The pro-vaccine people will propose ideas, and the anti-vaccine people will have ideas that they are going to propose. And the science people are going to be concerned about this or of that. It's just going to be a whole lot of information, and I'm not sure what we're going to do with it all. But we'll see what we see. Vaccine injuries are still an issue in many people's minds. One of the things that Pfizer released was 9 pages of vaccine possible side effects. And they include everything from little things to big things like myocarditis. And so there's just every issue that is going on, and we are left to try to figure out what it all means. I don't know what about for you, but for me, I think I want the body and the immune system that God gave me. That is what I want, and that's what I want to rely on. Well, we are losing a certain ability to analyze information and try to figure things out. Do we know what really is? Certainly we don't. But we are trying to understand all sorts of things, and we are going to continue to seek understanding. And that's one of the problems with receiving so much information, like 100,000 pages of information, or just to have conflict in what we hear. To say some people say it's good, some people say it's bad, and some people just, who knows? All these things make for confusion in the mind because there is a big argument to what's going on. So we get to figure out what we do about it. And of course, there's the people who just make decisions based on their feelings, and they don't really look at any data. They don't care what the scientific data is. They just want to act on their feelings. So that's another little factor about what's going on in the world and what are we going to do about it. I I ponder it. I wonder. I also know that there are so many Christians that expect God to save them. And they expect God to save them from the consequences of their decisions. Well, it's going to be interesting. I don't know what's really going to happen, but I wonder. I think there's a difference between the consequences of our decisions on earth and the consequences of our decisions in eternity, spiritually. And for that, it's not that I have an answer. I just wonder about these things, and I think what we do is we pray over and over again, yes for people, yes for the unsaved, and yes for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing that there are things going on that make it hard for us to understand, make it hard for us to think about things because of a conflict. I know one of the things that's going on right now is the conflict over what happened to the pipeline going from Russia to Europe, the Nord Stream pipelines. Why did they get blown up? Who could have blown them up, actually? Well, both Sweden and Germany say they know who blew up the pipelines that go from Russia to Europe, but they will not say who it was. Well, there is speculation that the United States of America did this act of war using the USS Navy ship, Kearsarge, K-E-R-S-E-S-A-R-G-E. Well, big question, isn't it? But I'm just know that it's an act of war to do something like that. And so you just kind of wonder, what could happen? And we don't know what could happen, but we know that Russia has their eyes on targeting any country that opposes Ukraine. I do look at the information that came out by Russia and Sweden. I'm sorry, not Russia, Germany. And Sweden, both saying they know who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, but won't say who it was. And you might ask, how could a country know who did that and refuse to tell who did it? Well, I have an opinion about it. And my opinion is that so many countries have treaties that their treaty laws require that they do this or do that, or say this or don't say that. And they have to abide by it because the laws of a country are important. The laws of international treaties are superior to the laws of a country. And of course, Constitution and Bill of Rights. We expect those are laws, but if we sign a treaty with another country or with an international body, according to centuries of treaty law, the treaties between countries become more important than the country's domestic laws. And that's why that the Nord Stream pipeline, because they are bound by international law. Of course, that's an opinion. I don't know that's the case. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I speculate based on what is going on in the country around us. What do we do about this? Are we going to allow this to happen in our own country, maybe? Or what are we going to do about it? Well, I'm not sure we can do anything about it. One is because the government has the power and has the authority to do things to its citizens. And two, I'm not sure the citizens are able to do anything. Look at what's been going on. Do we agree to what's going on, or do we simply submit to our laws? Do we submit to the authority of the government? Well, that's why I'm not sure it makes any difference about what we do as citizens of I'm not even sure of that, because just look at our is the one that's supposed to have some good economics going. They're supposed to be rich, but tell me, who has any supplies? Who has any ability to resist the government? No one does. We don't have that. It's practically gone. We can't even live for 3 days without going to the grocery store or buying gas for our vehicle. So how are the United States opposed to our government? I don't see it. But can you do something about it? Maybe you can. I'm not sure. I remember in the days of George Washington. Do you remember Valley Forge? Do you remember the pictures of the barefoot soldiers in the snow ready to fight under General George Washington? They wanted their liberty for their country. They wanted their freedom. All those soldiers had were a few clothes and their rifles. So I wonder, do you think today that we would be willing to fight like that? Who could even resist? I mean, you just look around and you just have to ask, who among us are willing to give up $5 a cup morning coffee? Who's willing to sacrifice even a cup of coffee? I just don't know where this is going to end up, but it concerns me. It concerns me because we have forgotten what sacrifice is, yes, for our country, but most especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ and unfaithful of the world. Who is willing to sacrifice? It's not that I know the answer to that. I just question it because I am concerned. Well, if we do have a government that opposes the people, what can we do about it? Are they tyrants? And what can anybody do about it? It's going to be quite interesting if that does develop. I don't know. It seems like many countries are having changes going on in them, and there is an effort to reduce the ability of the people to resist. Yeah, how would we resist without what we need, like food and gasoline? How would we even resist without a cell phone, without an internet? You know, if the internet goes down, how are you going to learn about anything? Sure, current news, but what about when you have a project to do? What about if you need to know how to bandage a wound? How are you going to learn that? If you don't have the internet, I guess you'll have to know it in your mind. How are you going to research Bible verses? If you don't have them in the mind, and if you don't have the internet to look up, how are you going to search these things? Well, yes, I am concerned about our country. Are we still the God-fearing country that we used to do? Do you think God is going to look after a country that has gone into do things that are opposed to what God tells us to do? It's all a whole bunch of questions that we don't know the answer to. But I do get concerned when I see things going on in our country, like so many people losing their homes, not able to afford the food that they need, not able to have the gasoline and diesel oil that they need. What are we going to do with our high inflation that's going on? What are we going to do about the economic and racial divisions that are going on right in our country? Are we going to be able to stop the hard times that are coming? Well, I don't know, but these are things we all have to be concerned with. I know twice in the last few years I have spoken about George Washington's visions, in which he described the angel of America and the visions that had come to him. He saw in the visions that there would be three great battles in the Republic. One was the Civil War. We look back and we believe that one was the Civil War. I'm sorry, one was the war for the American Revolution War. The other was the Civil War. And the third one is apparently yet to come, when dark evil forces invade America, and that there was mortal conflict all over America, and finally those foreign invaders were driven off after what seemed like years of mortal combat between Americans and the invaders. Well, it's hard to know what we can agree on as being valid or not. There is just so much going on that we are seeking to understand. We have to be very careful about the things going on and what we are going to agree to let happen as things are going on. Well, anyway, those are the visions of George Washington, basically spoken. And, of course, always with all information, we try to figure out what is the truth about what's going on. It's not like we know. We don't know, but we examine things that could tell us a little information about what the true situation is. So I do suggest that if these hard times are coming, we are going to have to take care of our health, take care of our body, and be careful that we do not injure ourselves. I mean, that's what it means if we are going to survive a rough spot in our country's history. How are we going to get through it? We will have to be careful so that we don't die. Sometimes that's just how it is. Life's not easy. It never has been. And we are going to have to remember the basic rules of life, which include: how do we love our God and love our neighbors? That's what we have to seek the understanding of. I mean, we know that everybody dies, and we know that we're going to die too. So how do we get through our life and get to that heavenly place that awaits us? I'm thinking about 4 years ago, I told a story about the Speedwell and the Mayflower coming to America, where both crew and passengers died on that voyage. And one crew member wrote in his journal that the Christians died like saints, while the crew members died like dogs. So we just have to be grateful that we have Jesus Christ in our life, and that we will be able to get through our life and our death with and through Jesus Christ. And that means we want to have that personal relationship with Jesus settled. That's what we want to do. Make sure that we have Jesus in our hearts and in our minds, and that perhaps we need to be the missionaries that he wants us to be. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? Oh, yes, it does. It makes complete sense. So let's remember what we're going to need to get through this. It can be Bibles. It can be hymnals. And that is just completely normal to have Bibles and hymnals for the people that need it. If there is a conflict in the world and in America, we are going to have to figure out how we get through the energy shortages. Yes, gas. Yes, diesel. And yes, our electrical grid. What would we do if the heaters broke down, for instance? What would we do? Would we be able to stay alive even without heat, without a car, without groceries? These are all things that we can just examine. Now, we might not be able to have every answer, but we can do a little bit to answer what we possibly can. Answer the things that we can, and we can establish relation with our neighbors so that we can show our love for them and they can show love for us. But this thing about the energy or the grid going down or something, it would be a problem for all of us. And we have to wonder, how would we stay warm if that happened? Well, I think everybody knows the one answer. We would dress in layers, for instance, by having two shirts or two pairs, and then we would have physical exercise to generate heat in our body. I mean, that's just common understanding, and everyone would do it. Another common thing that we just have to know is so very true is to wear a cap over our head. You could call it the watchman's cap or that kind of a something over your head to, so the heat doesn't escape out of your head. That is just plain normal. A lot of people know those little secrets, and that's what we would do too. There's things we can do to stay warm if we don't have our normal heaters. Normal, that's a big one, isn't it? What can we do to preserve our normal life? I'm not sure. Well, we have to have food and we have to have warmth. I do think I'm just thinking right, about a year and a half ago, my neighbor was going to repair his chicken house, and he asked me to watch the chickens the next day, and I did. I said, okay, sure, I'll watch the chickens. Well, after a few hours of watching chickens in a cage, I began to wonder, why am I doing this? I mean, for chickens? Are you kidding? Well, I thought some more about it, and I thought, you know, chickens are valuable for their eggs and for their meat, and yes, I have to watch these chickens to keep them safe from animals or to keep them from getting out of their temporary cage. So I could see that it was more important than I realized when I was questioning it. Oh, so that's the thing. If we have less resources, we are going to need to keep what we have. And that's just what we do. It's a part of living to take care of what we have. It's a part of living to take care of the food that we need. Sure, if it's chickens, or what if it's buckets of grain, buckets of rice and wheat. Yes, a wheat grinder, all those things are good to have on hand for just in case we need them. So there are reasons to say that there's trouble coming to our country. In the past, let's say 30 years, I have heard the prophetic voices of people that I wondered about, but there's a certain similarity that I've heard over the last 30 years of having, yes, an invasion and having hard conditions come to the United States. Now, how do you validate that? I don't know. I've always been curious if it was really true. But as I said, over 30 or so years, to have a number of prophetic voices say very similar things about what is coming to America, it just makes me wonder and pray and ask God, what should we do? And that's what I would say would be good for you to do. Ponder it and ask God, what you should do. If you should be preparing for the unknown, what can you do to prepare for the unknown? Well, it's something we all have to answer, and we will do that as best we know how. Are we going to feel comfortable enough that we can relax and let our government and the wise government officials tell us what we need to do to take care of ourselves? Well, it's not like I have that answer either, because we all have a different idea for what we are willing and able to do. We just do the best we know how, and so I encourage everyone to seek God through prayer and ask Him what we ought to be doing. I mean, that's only God knows these things, and we can ask Him for guidance and direction and protection, and I hope that's what you do. I do that, and I also pray for the people who listen to this broadcast. I listen to many people who speak, and I try to prepare the best that I understand. I also pray for the people who are searching for God. I pray for the Christian people of the world. Yes, and I just said the listeners to this broadcast. I have found that prayer is such an important thing. Oh, yeah, since my injury, I have found out that prayer is just a big, big thing. It multiplies normal healing. That's what it did for me. And so my prayer life has expanded so much, and I hope that you can see how important prayer is, that you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that you have the relation with your neighbors. I mean, it's biblical, but it's so practical what we understand. Well, remember that you can listen to any broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. You can always write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I certainly... Oh, and I thank Pastor Alfredo Romero for filling in for me while I was not fully able to do this broadcast. I'm so thankful. Look him up at Rock of Life Church in Chico. And I ask for God to bless you and bless the family of Christ. And I am just so grateful for what God has done for me and what He is doing for you also. God bless you. Bye for now. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.